No Roman general would have ever set up a military camp unless it had a good water supply. After all, a legion consisted of thousands of soldiers. Around here, they found the Francolí River and even an underground lake. Now, jump forward in time and just imagine how much drinking water a provincial capital city would have needed. In those days, water had to be brought in from two rivers, the Francolí and the Gaya. As you can see in the picture, some of the water channels were made of stone. That's why they are still standing. The Romans were such great engineers. That's what everyone thinks when they see an aqueduct. Well, let me tell you, most of those engineers would have been unable to weave a simple toga. Pipes like this one below, made of lead, distributed the water around the city once it had been cleaned of debris. We used lead a lot. Too much. The statues in this room are a great way of showing you how a person was supposed to appear in public. And before you ask me, no, the aim was not to dress comfortably. A woman in my position, for example, was allowed the luxury of keeping one hand exclusively for gathering her robe, at least for a little while. You knew a person's status simply from the robe they wore. A woman's mantle was called a pala, and a man's a toga. When fully unravelled, a toga was at least 3 times a man's height. The trick was that it had one straight side, but the other was rounded. So in fact, it only had 2 pointy ends. It had to be draped in such a way that it created 2 pockets, so to speak, a small one at waist height and a larger one down to the knee. There were different types of togas. Look at the smallest statue here, for example. It's the statue of a boy. I don't know that because it's short, but because of the amulet he's wearing round his neck, the bulla. If the statue had retained its original colours, the boy's toga would have a purple border. The purple border showed that he came from a wealthy family. Togas were made of wool and used to be woven by women at home. Apparently, Augustus had his wife weave in front of visitors as a way to encourage traditional customs. He knew full well that to maintain an empire, propaganda is just as important, if not more so, than armour. Propaganda is another Latin word, as is agenda. The statues of the imperial family were an important part of their propaganda agenda. Do you see that picture of a theatre? That's our theatre, the one here in Tarraco. Look where the statues stood. Statues of those who protected us and our infrastructures were always placed right in front of the audience so that we could all see them. And did you know that Augustus tried to have women seated in the very top tiers? He didn't manage it during his lifetime, and afterwards, well, not really. Is the theatre still regarded as a sacred thing in your time? In the Tarraco Theatre, we had an altar to the goddess Venus, decorated with a statuette you can see in the display case. The members of the Julian dynasty claimed they were descended from Venus, through her son Aeneas, one of the heroes of the Trojan War. Yes, the famous Iliad was not just an epic poem, it was also part of the imperial propaganda agenda. By the way, there was no need for Virgil to say that we women are fickle and changeable. Well, let's move on to the next room. La donne mappale, la de du la, yada.